sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex.
Part two
is leaning into your intuition and trusting yourself. This is a big one. People need to know when they can trust themselves and when they can't.
I think that's very, very true for a lot of different reasons. Some it's about trying to figure out how to be human. A couple things before we dive in.
Sure.
One of them, I got thinking about the last episode when we were talking about the music we listened to and you were talking about I Will Survive and the, is there life out there? And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that could start some serious conversations or some mistrust if you look at somebody's most commonly played and they're like, Goodbye, Earl is the...
Goodbye, Earl. I love that song. I would sing that at the top of my lungs too. I really wouldn't have minded chopping him up and putting him somewhere. I'm beyond the anger now, but at the time it was an incredible song to hear playing on the radio and singing with.
And I would also say to somebody, if you're seeing things that are questionable at somebody's most common playlist or what you're hearing, there's also the question of is it a frustration in their own life? Are they frustrated on behalf of other people? What's the connection with it? And how much of it is, dude, I just love singing along with this song, but
yeah.
All those things, just saying.
You're such a great balance to to our conversations. You're always coming up with the not offending people or not starting a war over something.
Yeah. Right.
There was something else you mentioned too, which was about our, oftentimes I use the heterosexual situations in my examples, and when I'm talking, oftentimes I try to catch myself if I happen to realize that that's what's happening, and it's not for any other reason than it's what I know, it's what the majority of my clients are dealing with. Not to say that I don't have other clients that have different lifestyles, and the gay, lesbian, queer communities, I work with people in those areas as well. And it's a case by case basis. So strictly used for example purposes, but I think you had a much more eloquent way to say it, Judy. How was that?
What did I say? That's a good question. So you should have recorded that. but basically, basically it's kind of what we're more commonly dealing with, the male and female. And that isn't to say, and a lot of those things transfer over, like you said, in your experiences, we may be using the male female language, and sometimes it's because those are things I often am thinking of when we're talking, like, oh my gosh, do we need to qualify this? But I think there are times it's totally appropriate that we do. And there are times when, the point that I want to put out there is we're not discounting same-sex couples or whatever one is in, but it's also sometimes, again, using the commonality of what typically happens or a way to describe between partner one and partner two that's quick, and maybe that's not fair. So yeah. I'm happy to have comments.
And even to talk about it as like a masculine energy and a feminine energy, because there are dynamics like that in same-sex couples. But that's not always the case either. There's a lot of people who are non-binary. So it's really, it's very difficult to cover everybody and make everybody happy when you're talking about inner relationships, period. Because it can blow up into and extrapolate out into races. It can, all kinds of stuff. You could really, really just, people need to understand themselves. And that's really what I'm all about. Get your own shit together and get your own self where you need to be. And then this stuff probably won't even be an offense to you because you'll understand where it's coming from and you'll get that it's really just about knowing yourself and being able to communicate your needs and desires and so forth. So,
right. I want to be sensitive to that, because I think that's a very important thing. And I don't want anybody to feel discluded, because I don't, in my head, they're not. In my head, this is about much more than just the, you know, but it's kind of going back to comfort language. Not saying that I can't learn to do something different, and I'm happy to do that, but I also don't want to do it where it sounds so disrespectful, or so that I'm trying so hard that it's like, okay, I spend every conversation we have qualifying.
Yeah.
Everything.
Because part of who we are is one woman talking to another woman. I mean, right. We want to be real and authentic here. We're not trying to be the everything end all to everybody. It's really just kind of the way that we process or are able to relate things.
Right.
Sometimes work for some people and sometimes don't work for others. And also, I don't feel like I can personally speak from a female-female relationship, because I've never been in one. I've had clients, but they may not be the example for every female-female relationship, you know? So, and same thing with the men. I've never been in a man-man relationship. So for me to speak to that from a place of personal
knowing.
Experience and knowing, it feels a little presumptuous of me. So
right.
I'd rather keep it that these are just concepts. And if you identify with one person or another person in a relationship, that you go with that, that you are either the person that is checked out of the relationship or you're the person that's in the relationship. I just did a video on, are you the dog or the chicken? Did you watch that video?
I did not see that one yet. No.
Okay. So I'll do this really quick, because then we can just say dog and chicken for the rest of the show and people get it. I had a lot of chickens at one point, and I had a dog that liked to kill the chickens. And it was very upsetting to me, and it was upsetting to my kids. Mm-hmm. And I was from Jersey, and I moved here, and, you know, I was pretending to be a farmer. And a real farmer came from down the street on his tractor and came off, and I'm telling him about the dog, and he's like, well, there's an easy way to fix this, you know? And I'm like, what? He says, you take a piece of rope and you tie the dead chicken to the dog's neck. And eventually, the dog will not go near your chickens anymore.
Ooh.
And I'm like, really? And he said, yeah, really. Well, I couldn't possibly do that, because one, visually, it would upset me terribly. The kids too. Two, I didn't like the idea of the smell. I didn't like the idea of torturing my dog like that either. But it got me to start thinking about a lot of marriages and relationships. Who's the dog and who's the chicken?
Okay. I'm working on
who's
that.
Who's the dog and who's the chicken?
Yeah.
If you have somebody and you're in a relationship, and then you just have the dead chicken that's tied to your neck, or it's not bringing you life, it's not bringing you joy, it's making you stuck, it's making you feel yucky, and it's dimming your light on life, period. Like, the dog was his purpose in life is to chase chickens. Like, this is part of being a dog, is to chase things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to squash that or to pull that spirit away by tying a dead chicken around its neck was kind of just an interesting analogy for me. So take that or leave it. We don't have to use dog and chicken the rest of the show. But I just found that super duper interesting and thought I'd share.
Yeah. Well, it is.
I have a lot of these little things that stick in my brain.
Right.
I'm a visual person. So to have a story and writing.
Yeah.
Stories are really impactful to me. So it helps me to.
Well, it brings things down to the simplicity of nature, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So shall we get into our next segment here?
Yes, let's do it.
So leaning into intuition and trusting yourself. This is one of the hardest areas where people have trouble in making a decision or a choice. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are afraid to make a choice because they do not trust themselves, their intuition, and or a situation. They don't trust that there's life on the other side. They don't trust that they'll find somebody else someday. They don't trust that their life could be better. They don't trust that their kids will come around someday, or, you know, there's all these ifs, what if? Mm-hmm. And all of it is around fear. This fear is what holds people up big time in this stage, because there's the four Fs, which we've talked about before: the fear of failure, the fear of the unknown, the fear of rejection, and the fear of loss. Mm-hmm. So those four fears pop up in very different ways for each individual in their own set of circumstances. So we don't want to trust, because when we trust our own decision, our own choices, our own higher self, that means we're solely responsible. You can't blame anybody else mm-hmm. when you make your own choices, when you trust that there's something better for you out there, when you allow your authentic self to pursue a road less traveled, or to pursue happiness, because happiness is only comes from marrying the prince and living happily ever after. Right? So some of the things that we can do to tap into our intuition is some of the woo-woo things that we hear about from time to time. So if you're in a relationship and you are thinking that perhaps you're in that teeter-totter place where you're thinking you might be calling it quits, or you need to work on things, some ways to kind of understand yourself better and really make a good, clear choice is through breathing techniques and meditation. Kind of grounding yourself, getting out into nature, clearing your head, going for a hike or something, and really just kind of pondering the situation and just kind of getting outside of the walls of your house, or outside of a place that's got emotional attachment or something like that. Get out somewhere, breathe, meditate, ground yourself. This will all encourage you to tap into your higher self. Well, and when I say higher self, that means God, nature, the divine, the universe, you know, whatever you want to call it, something outside of ourselves that has the big picture in mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. For some people don't even like to identify with the idea that they have a higher self, or that there's something bigger out there. But
well, and for them, in my mind, when I think about this too, I think of, like, when you say going into nature and letting your mind think about this stuff, I also think of going into nature, do something where you kind of are just letting your mind go where it wants to, because sometimes that's where the answers come, right?
That's true.
You mm-hmm. know, it might be, I was told one time by a psychic who said, you are not an empty your mind kind of girl. You are a sit with a cup of tea and stare out the window. Mm-hmm. That's where you, and that is very true to me, true to me. It is the other things that I'm engaged in. It is, I have had brilliant ideas come to me when I have been listening to music and singing along. But I'm so, because it's a song I know so much, the half of my brain is there and the other half is off doing this other stuff, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, poof, oh, wait, okay, wait, I can frame it that way or whatever. And I think sometimes it's, if we don't feel comfortable with the higher self piece, it's kind of just the other parts of your brain pulling some stuff together.
Yeah, well, and that's just another one of the points that I had written down, is to get out of your head. Mm. So, and in doing that, you can do that through journaling. You can do that through some sort of purge or vent or whatever. Just getting it out on paper, getting it out in a music, like you said, singing to music or something like that. And then another one is moving your body. Get your body moving. It stimulates energy. It stimulates your higher frequency. It helps you to kind of just not feel stuck. And then we're going back to that level one energy that I was talking about in the first segment, was your level one energy. If you're feeling stuck, you need to move. You need to do something, because that feeling of being stuck in your body, in your mind, in your soul, will not change until there's some sort of energy behind it. You have to move. So, and whether that's moving your mind and your thoughts or moving your actual body, that's what these three steps are kind of about, is spirit, soul, and mind. You just kind of acknowledging that these things support you. That's your intuition. Mm-hmm. And then when you feel like you have an answer, or you feel like you have the clear path, or you get a hit that this is the next step you need to do, leaning into the possibility and the opportunity with that. Start thinking about what that would look like if it was done. So you're setting intention to move forward. You're setting intention for change. Whether it's to repair your relationship, or whether it's to walk away, or whether it's to redefine it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that those are all options in this scenario.
Right.
So also, I want to say that the best way to stay in touch with your intuition and trusting yourself is to not engage in buttons and triggers.
Talk more about what that looks like.
Buttons and triggers, yeah. Buttons and triggers are those key words, key phrases, the way somebody looks at you that pisses you off, or road rage, or any of those places where you get automatically quickly offended, quickly angry, or just fly off the handle about something. Those are your buttons and triggers. You hear a certain word and you're like nails on the chalkboard. Those are buttons and triggers. They make you immediately uncomfortable, immediately angry or enraged. Those are all emotional responses that are not from intuition. That's your fight, flight, freeze, fawn thing. And that's you trying to fight your way out of a paper bag. That has nothing to do with your soul purpose, your soul body, and your intuition.
So when you say not engaging, you're saying when those things pop up,
yes,
you don't let
resist
them.
Resist the urge resist the urge to respond. And how do you do that, right?
That is the ultimate question for so many people.
How do you do that? So a lot of it comes back to the same stuff we were just talking about. So if you have a button or a trigger, the very first thing you should do is always pause. Hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
When we have somebody in your face, or somebody that's antagonizing you, or something that's happening, we need to maybe go back to the breathe and just take a couple of deep breaths, count to 10, pause. You need to create space. I talk about this a lot in my new book that's coming out, is about creating space for growth. You know, when you dig a hole to plant a seed, you're creating a space for that seed to go so that it can grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you create a space by pausing, you're allowing for a new thought. You're planting a seed for growth. You're planting a seed for positivity. So take that just a couple of seconds to say, okay, now, by taking a couple deep breaths, it can totally reframe your thought process. You're taking the energy, the negative energy, out of your response. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If it's still something that bothers you, you can then choose, because you're not acting out of emotion or buttons and triggers, you can then choose how you respond. Choose differently. Choose wisely. Choose lovingly, choose kindly, versus going right to the anger, the level 2 energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other thing about that is, this is really, really powerful. If nobody hears anything else in this particular podcast except this, please pay attention. A huge key to overall happiness is detaching from the outcome. Try really, really hard to be present and detach from the outcome. When we impose attachments to things, that is where we become disappointed, discontented. We have high expectations that don't get met. We get angry because somebody just doesn't do something right. So detaching from the outcome, super duper important. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We all have issues. Even if you think you're the most perfect person on the planet, that's probably your issue. But you know, we're, like I said, we're human. And to attach to somebody, even the idea of owning someone, like in a relationship, since that's what we're talking about here, the attachment idea that he or she is yours, or he or she should know better, or he or she did that on purpose. Detach from the outcome. Be present in the here and now and deal with whatever it is that's coming up for you. Try and deal with your stuff first and their stuff second, and don't have a need to wrap it all up with a bow and control the mother. I mean, I was going to curse. That control piece is so, so ingrained in us because our society is so go, 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 drive, 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 make it happen, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And we project expectation all of the time. And then we become sad or mad or stuck because other people can't possibly fulfill our needs. So...
And know that that's really hard. Like all of that is really hard to do. It is not something you flip a switch.
No, it takes practice. It takes a lot of practice. One of the big things that people are afraid of the most, what I mentioned, the four fear buckets, the biggest one in relationships is the fear of loss. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, when you detach from the outcome, the way that might look instead of poor me, I won't have anybody, I'll be lonely, whatever, is that nobody is ours to keep. Nobody is ours to have. Nobody is ours to control. That every person, place, animal, thing, is simply an energetic ribbon passing through. And then think about that on a stormy day where the wind is really blowing and all these ribbons are floating through the sky. Nothing's really attached. Nothing's really entangled. And it just passes through. Every thought passes through. Every person passes through this life. They're not here to stay. Mm. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing. And when we attach to the outcome as if they do last forever, our relationship will last forever, this person is never going to die, this person is always going to be here, you're anchoring in something that's not truth.
And it's an interesting thing to think of how that matches up with our need, our kind of human need, and then maybe our societal concept of what stability means.
Right. When all we really have, though, is what's present. Mm-hmm. We hear that all the time now, right? The past is gone. It's already happened. All that remains of the past is in our brain. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's artifacts and stuff like that, right. But that's even constructed by our brains if we really think about it, because if I'm sitting here in my office and I'm picturing an artifact, does it really look the way my brain is perceiving it to me right now? Is that really what the pyramids look like? I've never been to the pyramids. I don't know. It's just what my brain is popping up as a picture right now. So what you have to experience is what is right in front of you. It is your present moment. The future hasn't happened yet. Things can change between now and midnight tonight for tomorrow, you know. That the whole idea of where you are in your life, like right now, if I'm having the best day ever and I win a trophy, but then I get a phone call that my father passed away.
Mm-hmm.
What is, so I, the past would be the trophy. My attachment would be my father, the loss that I'm going to experience. The mm-hmm. future, the future is now uncertain for me. How am I going to feel in 5 minutes from now? All you really have is your present moment. So we need to make, this is where I say about being present in your relationships, mm-hmm. making every moment count, striving for connection, because these are the memories and the feelings that are going to stay in your mind and keep you from being a depressed person, an angry person, a victimized person, because you're going to have positive energy, positive memories, positive vibrations associating with you throughout your daily living if you're present in mm-hmm. that state of gratitude, in that state of detachment, in that state of just knowing that you are a whole person and you're vital because you're alive. So who wants to walk around dead?
Right.
Right. Who wants to be a cadaver that's walking around in life with no feeling, with no appreciation, with no joy?
Right. So how does that, so how do we take that into our space of leaning into our intuition and trusting ourselves? I think recognizing all of that about ourselves is important.
It's very important because that leans into the truth. And so your intuition is truth. Your intuition is the truest inner message your body can give you based on your experiences, your life, your higher mm-hmm. self, and all of those things combined. It's the gut feeling you have when something doesn't feel safe mm-hmm. or when something's a bad deal. Or that I shouldn't go to the store right now. I should wait a half an hour. You know, mm-hmm. those kind of things. They're messages that are coming to you for some reason. And why do we not want to lean into them? Because we're still in the control and attachment and forward thinking. Like we have it. We have all of this power, all of this in our head. We think that we're in control of so much stuff. And in essence, all we can really be in control of is our here and now, our present. Mm-hmm. That's your intuition. If you're in tune with your intuition, you're being present and you are in touch with your body. And that's where your truth lies. So if your intuition is telling you the relationship is over, you need to move on, and you've been hearing this message from yourself for 6 months and you haven't listened to it, you need to lean into that. You need to explore the opportunities of what would your life be like if I listened to my intuition.
Mm-hmm. And what does that message mean? The being over, you know, I think you, like yeah. you said in the beginning of where is that, is it truly over? Is, you know, and not to make a snap decision
about
that, you know, it is about sitting with things. And
that's the leaning into part.
Right.
Yeah. And trusting yourself, being honest with yourself. Like I said, your intuition is truth, but our brains, we keep thinking about things and we're going to think things to death. You know, we get a paralysis by analysis where we're constantly thinking and trying to project what's going to happen if, what will this look like if I'm in a marriage and I'm really unhappy and I tell my mom, I'm really unhappy. I don't want to stay in this marriage anymore. And she were to say to me, he's a great father.
Mm-hmm.
Or she'd say, you know, he'd be with you the rest of your life. He'd be by you at your deathbed. They're valid points,
mm-hmm.
but does that mean that I'm still not happy?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I'm the dog or the chicken?
Yeah, so yeah, you're turning into the chicken.
I'm turning into the dead thing being dragged along by the dog, you know? I don't know. I think this is a really, really important part, because I agree that you shouldn't make quick, harsh decisions when it comes to something that impacts another person whom you say that you love or have loved.
Mm-hmm.
We do consider other people, but they should be considering your happiness as well, if there's love there. You may have had conversations that it's coming to this. You may have been going to counseling. You may have, you know, there's all kinds of signs that may have been happening along the way. And your intuition might be saying, you know, there is more to life than this.
And to my finding my own happiness, or
yeah,
my finding my realizing my true self.
Right. Or know? Are you just putting a pause on your happiness?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when, here's the other thing. Oh, my notes are in this book. I have multiple notebooks all over the place. So it requires having this personal talk with yourself, and leaning into your intuition requires courage and bravery to stand up to yourself, to really find yourself, to ask yourself hard questions, and then to trust yourself. It takes courage and bravery.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have courage, you're going to stay. You're going to stay in a relationship where you're henpecked or nagged all the time, where you're constantly sad or unfulfilled, you're a doormat, or you're a dominant person and you're just, you know, telling the other person because you don't care. You just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're a leech and you're I've referred to men as leeches before, you know, that in my relationships, that there's been men who are just takers. They,
mm-hmm,
and so they just take, you know? So oftentimes people will put themselves on hold with the universe and just be like, oh, I can't do this now. I'll wait until my mother dies because I don't want her judgment. I'll wait until I retire because I won't have to deal with the social part of that, and I won't have to deal with it with my work. I'll wait until she leaves me, or I'll wait until it's that bad that she just goes. Or like, I think a lot of people get into a midlife crisis area of their life, and I've renamed it a midlife crescendo, because I really think that by the time they get there, they've already been unhappy for a long time. And now they're to the point where they're like, it's make or break.
Right.
It's make or break. Because if I wait 10, 20 more years, I'm not going to be as attractive as I am right now. I could restart a life at 40 or 50 and still have another 20 years with somebody. But the longer you wait, is it worth it? Is it worth it to leave anymore? Have I been drug around long enough that this is just the way it is? There's no better life for me out there.
Mm-hmm. And we know that that isn't true.
It isn't true.
You know, people are finding some amazing relationships in their older years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had met a rash of people years ago who had all gotten remarried around the age of 50. And they were all like, oh my God, life begins at 50. My life is so much better than it ever was. And in my memory, at least a few of them that I can recall, I know they had gotten in their relationship very, very young, you know, and they were, you know, of course, at that time, 50. So probably by now they'd be 70. These women that I'm thinking of at the time period. But in thinking about that, in the whole, you know, it was a different time and you got into the relationship because he was going to be a good provider perhaps, or,
mm-hmm,
you know, whatever, all of those things that have shifted. And again, you know, I don't love to just, well, times have changed, let's toss everything up in the air. But I think, again, for women, when you get to find that you have power, and you get, you know, for like one of the women, she got into a relationship with a guy who, he was intellectually a great match for her, and they could conversate. And she, like, I never had that. I never had somebody who wanted to sit down and talk to me on car trips. And, you know, and that was so, what a beautiful thing. But that's a huge shift. And that was a way he wasn't going to change, and they weren't a good match. And do you just say, well, you know, stick with this? I mean, there was a lot more in that particular relationship that got them divorced, but all of a sudden she's in this new thing, this new relationship, and it's amazing. And it just, it's that again, it's that we shift and we change, and we don't, if we can't acknowledge that we shift and we change and communicate with our partner around that and shift together, well, sometimes things end up breaking. Yeah. You know, or you feel a different power because times have changed. I think I had a, I was having a conversation about this the other day to somebody in thinking about how much of my life has been, so I don't drive. I don't drive because I can't legally drive. And the amount of times I have had to be nice to somebody because I depended on them for a ride home. And that was something I grew up with. I had to be nice to my parents because if I don't be nice to my parents, then I don't get to go X or I, you know, and a lot of times it isn't about being nice. It's about agreeing. It's about not foisting or, you know, it's about not speaking what you need at the time because
for the sake of needing to get what you need out of.
Right. And it makes,
that's coping and settling. That's level three energy.
So it's, I got those messages as a kid. Right. Mm-hmm. You have to be nice to people. It's how I got those messages with friends. You be nice to your friends and your parents to get a ride home. Mm-hmm. You be nice to boys and that's men right. to get mm-hmm. your ride home safely so you don't die, you know. And then this was said to me a few years ago as an adult. I was giving Joel some crap and somebody said, you know, think about who's going to drive you home. And it just hit me.
Oh
my God. I have lived my life under this and it has affected because I keep my mouth shut a lot in places and I don't put out my needs because I need, you know, sometimes you're in a place where you can't just get up and go on your own. Right.
How would it feel for you if you were able to speak up more? Do you think you even know how at this point?
I think it's a huge challenge for me. It's a huge challenge. I am trying to learn and I have people occasionally who will push me mm-hmm. to do that. And they have even through my life. I mean, I remember a birthday when it was, you know, no, you make a decision about what we're going to do. And I'm like, well, what do you guys want to do? You know?
Yeah.
And it was like, I see that repeating. And I think it is, it's a weird thing. Because there is an aspect of if I make a decision and then again, this has happened too, I get the guts up to make a decision. The decision doesn't go well. Well, okay, that wasn't a good idea. You know, you feel the pain of that instead of it being just a decision that didn't go well.
What if I told you though, Judy, that you can never make a mistake?
Oh, that's a hard, I like the concept. That's a hard thing to get through my head.
That everything that we do, every choice that we make, every path that we take, mm-hmm. all is leading to an end destination. They all paths go to the same place. And that's why we have free will. That's why we have the ability to make choices. Mm-hmm. We do the very best we can in any moment with what we're given, with what we're going through, with what we've been through. Mm-hmm. And whatever choice that is that we go with,
it's
not a mistake.
Just, right. And I think I'm getting better at that as an adult. Like I really think I am processing through that much, much more mm-hmm. than I did. But I also don't have the same voices as I had as a younger person calling everything a mistake either, right? Like I have adult people around me with forward thinking and have not grown up in my paradigm.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have
the support around you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's a huge shift that as an adult that we, you know, we make and we try to figure ourselves out. That's why all of this stuff, it's hard. We know pieces, we don't know others. We just haven't been able to exercise the muscles or know how to exercise the muscles, you know.
So here, let me ask you another question. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that courage and bravery are a value or a trait?
Ooh, a value or a trait. I'm trying to define both of them. Do I think they're a value or a trait? I think there's something that we do. So I guess that would make them a trait. Like I think that I, over the last few years, have been stepping into my bravery So do I see that as a value or a trait? I do. That's okay.
I know. It's a trick question. When I was asked that question, I came back with that I feel like it's more of a nurture versus nature.
I don't really think that it falls
into a value or a trait. I think it's determined through nurture versus nature. Over time, because we're continually being mm-hmm. nurtured and we're continually growing and evolving through our natural state. Mm-hmm. So that was my pushback, was that I feel like it's nurture versus nature and where you are in your processing of life and challenges and opportunity and stuff.
Well, and some of the stuff I've read about birth, because I think it's a both thing. Mm-hmm. I think there are some, I wish I could remember I think it was in the book called Quiet, that they talked about how we are born and certain aspects of how we come out of the womb, but actually it has to do with experiences we've had, but we show up right away with these traits that might be a little more boisterous or not. I don't remember the exact thing. So I'm thinking about that and just thinking.
So if you come out the door or the window, is that kind of what you're talking about? If you're delivered C-section or you're delivered through a natural birth, if it's a...
No, actually more about the experiences that we have. And I think it might have been around pain and how we process pain.
Oh.
Now I want to go reread the book. but it kind of talked about that. Yeah, certain things are part of our experiences and how much maybe we're born with our personality, but then how much are really very, very early experiences for us. Mm-hmm. And then how are we taught to grow up? I wasn't really taught to have courage or bravery. Like, it was safer, you know. I grew up kind of wanting to hide in the woodwork a lot. Mm-hmm. Even though that's not quite who I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, you are very careful. And again, you respond to things. I was, you know, I grew up with Coke bottle glasses. So I was very much a target for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do a lot of brave things because it wasn't safe for me to be brave. And it wasn't always safe in my family to be brave. So now that I am older, I mean, obviously, for me to do my podcasts was a huge step into bravery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things that I am finally, I mean, it's that difference of how we grow and we change over time. You get your different world about you, you get your different support system, and you behave differently because you put yourself out into the world differently. And that goes into the collective of how we process, how we then experience. We have new experiences that transform us. And then again, back to that intuition and in our relationship and where are we and what part of ourselves then can we trust because you've learned yourself differently.
So here I want to end this segment with just a little challenge for our listeners. And that is, in order to exercise our bravery and courage muscle, and it's a muscle, it's in our brain, it's kind of it's something we need to learn to embrace a little bit more, is the abilities that we have. And to do that, we step into our courage and bravery, is to just use the word no more often. Mm-hmm. When, like you were saying, when something doesn't suit you well, or when somebody wants you to do something and you don't have the time or the energy or the desire, that you simply say no, that you start putting some boundaries around yourself. And these boundaries, as well as the grounding and paying attention to your intuition will help you to establish where the boundaries need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Where you should say no, where you should say yes, you know, listen to your intuition there too. But learning to say no to things that do not align with your idea of who you want to be or your values will help you to delineate again where your relationship is. It's going to give you even more clarity around whether it's something too far gone or something that could still be worked on. Because by honoring yourself, you're going to see where you fall in your relationship. Mm-hmm. It sort of helps to break the codependency, any codependencies that are there. It's going to help you to start paying attention to your thought processes and honoring yourself as an individual. And if your mate is or a partner is not receptive to that, we need to go back to the first podcast and start talking about where's the love.
Mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing unhealthy or wrong about saying no sometimes. It's another area that we need to grow in as adults, because as we grow, we don't want to be a doormat. We want to be engaged in our lives. We want to be able to make choices. And the operation in the word choice is to say yes or no. Mm-hmm. Right? You say yes or no to opportunity. So practice saying no to the things that don't serve you, that don't honor you, that don't make you feel complete, that don't make you feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
Say no more often. Say no to being treated a certain way. Say no to being disrespected. Say no to being taken for granted. Start putting up some boundaries, some flexible boundaries. You know, you can reevaluate and adjust or whatever. Mm-hmm. But to say no to one thing means you're saying yes to something else. And usually by saying no to people that aren't treating you properly means you're finally stepping into your own power and realizing that you deserve to be treated kindly, loved, respected. You have value. So that's what I would like to challenge our listeners to in this segment.
That, well, that can be a really big shift.
Yeah, it's a very powerful thing to be able to say no and mean it and stand firm in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good practice to step into. And then this is part of our next segment, which goes into the communication piece and knowing how to communicate the things you know now as you're evaluating where you are in your relationship, kind of being an adult and knowing how to talk about it, knowing how to address it with yourself, with your mate, and perhaps with your friends and family. And a lot of that starts with boundaries. So you need to work on that on yourself first. And then it gets easier when you start to honor yourself. It gets easier when you start trying to extend those boundaries to others. So,
right. Wow.
Okay.
That's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
I think so. So we'll go into the third section now, right?
Yes.
Perfect. Awesome. I hope everybody follows along and comes in for the next one.
For sure.
Thank you for listening. If you were paying attention, you might recall that I'm pretty sure that I said we might break this four-part series into eight parts, but kept part two altogether. So we'll see what happens with three and four as we get to the actual work of production and prepping them for you. So they are on their way. Check out the rest of the episodes at sexmatterspodcast.com, where you can ask a question. We love listener questions. So please feel free to stop by and do that. Topics, questions about your own life, just questions you have about sex and relationships in general. Those are always fun. Comments. We love comments and feedback as well. Get on the email list, leave a review, and all that fun stuff can happen at the sexmatterspodcast.com. And of course, if you haven't joined us on Facebook, please do like and check out the page, not necessarily in that order. You can find us at Sex Matters with the punctuation mark of a period, that Sex Matters period, on Facebook, and it should pull us right up. If you are liking what we do, and we hope that you do, we, of course, thank you so much for listening, but consider becoming part of our Patreon community. You could go to the website, and signing up for Patreon is pretty simple. You're going to get a username and a password, and that's going to allow you to get behind the scenes and get the goodies that you get on Patreon. You can learn more about Patricia by looking at her main website at thepowerexchange.co. That's thepowerexchange.co. And you can find out how to work with her individually, the courses, the things that she is doing currently. You can connect with her on Facebook as well by looking up The Power Exchange. Her book is called Crossing the River Called Suffering, and you can find that right on the front page of our website. You can click right through to Amazon. And by doing that, you do support both Patricia and the podcast. So we would be grateful if you would go through our website if you do want to purchase her book for yourself or a gift. I, Judy, invite you to check out my podcast, my weekly health and wellness podcast. You can find that on wellnessrenpodcast.com or iTunes or pretty much any other place that you are looking for podcasts. There are over 100 episodes, so there is probably something there to tickle your fancy. So check it out. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week. This should be coming out on Thanksgiving or very, very close to it. So I hope you're having a great day, whatever you choose to do with Turkey Day. I hope it's a good one for you. Have a great week. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.